If a person finds appraisals, that Beis Din would do appraisals, when a person would lend to somebody else, that he can be able to collect from land, Beis Din would make appraisals of this land. Or if he finds igros mazon, this could be, the first the Rav gives one parish that a person is mekabel to sustain his stepdaughter, or one parish the Rav brings, it's a document that his nechasim, his karka, would be sold to sustain his own wife or daughter, even after he dies. Shtari chalitza, or shtar chalitza. This would prove that a woman had chalitza, and she's not zokuk to yibum anymore, and somebody else can marry her. Umei unin, on a shtar miyun. Miyun is when a girl gets married while she's a ketana, not married off by her father. So let's say she's married off by her mother or brothers, so it's the marriage is only marriage mid rabbanan, so she can annul the marriage. That's what a miyun is. Ushtari Beirurin, or a shtar where each litigant chooses a dayan, as it says in Sanhedrin, Zebore, one person chooses his dayan, and the other litigant chooses his own dayan, and then those dayanim choose the third dayan. So there's a shtar that they produce that a person can't go back after he chooses his dayan. V'chol Masa Beis Din, and all Masa Beis Din, Hareze Yachzer, all these cases, you can return it to the person that the document was intended for. Because we're really not concerned that in these cases, somebody changed their mind and didn't give it. And also we're not afraid that something was already paid back and now you're giving it back to the lender that can collect it again, unrightfully, because there's no payback here. There's nothing being paid over here. Mishnah continues. Matza b'chafisa. If he finds documents in a, chafisa I think is like a wallet, obedeluskama, or a larger container that the Rav says it's also leather. A leather thing that old people would put all their stuff in an organized way. Tachrich shel shtaros, or if he finds a tachrich, the Rav says, are three or more shtaros that are folded into each other. Tosfos Yontif explains that they're folded in a way that you can take out one shtar from the other. So I guess they would roll it and then fold it into another shtar, roll it and fold it into another shtar. Oh, aguda shel shtaros, or, so an aguda is a pile of shtaros, but the whole pile was then folded as one. So this, you wouldn't be able to take one from the others without the whole thing falling apart, pretty much. But again, it's something where it's all bound together. Hareza yachzer, this, you would return it to the owner because we know who it is. Because there's a simen on this. This is all a simen. Both the kli itself is a simen, so anything inside of it is the owner's. And also the tachrich, the aguda, the fact that it was folded together is also a simen. The kam aguda shel shtaros, so how much is this aguda? This pile that's bound together. Shlosha kshurin zebazeh. Three that are folded into each other. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, echad halova mishlosha yachzer lelova. If you find three documents where there's one borrower and three lenders, and you find these documents in the same area, obviously it fell from the lova. Because what's the odds of having three separate lenders that all have the same borrower? That the three people just drop their stuff here. Obviously, it's belonging to the lova. That's why yachzer lelova. And the Rav points out that this is dafka when the shtaros were already mekuyim and based in. But if it's not mekuyim, we're afraid that maybe the sofer had these three shtaros and he lost it. Shlosha halova mi'echad yachzer lemalva. And if you have three borrowers and one lender, then you return it to the lender. Mishnah continues, Matzah shtar bein shtaroso v'eini yodei ma'ativo. If a person finds a shtar between his other shtaros. In other words, this is not finding something on the street like we're talking about. Now, you find a shtar among your other shtaros in your own house. V'eini yodei ma'ativo. And you don't know what its nature is. What if it was already paid, who it was for. Was it for the lova? Was it for the malva? Maybe the lova, the borrower, wanted you to watch it for him. Or maybe the malva did. Or maybe he was partially paid and you should be like an intermediary. Yemunach atshiyavu Eliyahu. So if you're not sure, don't do anything. Leave it there until Eliyahu Navi comes. Imyesh imam simpona. However, if you find it amongst torn up receipts, like the Rav points out, and simponus is a receipt, the difference between a simpon and a shover, Taisa says that a simpon is usually the receipt is written or by the malva, the lender, and a shover is the receipt that's written by the borrower. They're both intended for the same purpose, to prove that the borrower paid him back. But in this case, there's a simpon, which means that the borrower paid him back. And normally, it would be in the hands of the borrower. The malva, the lender, would say, okay, now you paid me back, here's your receipt. but he wrote the receipt, sometimes the lover would trust him and say, listen, I paid you back. You know what? You can give me my receipt tomorrow. It's okay. And then the lender found it amongst other receipts that were written up. So the Mishnah says, Yasim Asha Bisimponos. You should do what it says in the Simponos. Assume that it was paid back. This is a valid receipt. You wouldn't have created this receipt. Normally, yes, it would be in the lover's hands. But since you found it amongst other receipts that were torn up, even though this wasn't torn up, you probably had in mind to tear it up. And therefore, there's a cheskas perua, that it was paid back.